Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack the best insights from our sources just for you.
Yeah, and today we've got something really fascinating.
We really do. We're diving into effective communication, specifically in guiding movement, but honestly, the lessons apply much wider.
Mm-hmm. We're drawing a lot from Jenny Massey's work, her YouTube channel stuff. She has some brilliant takes on this.
Absolutely. And what she lays out, it's not just for, say, Pilates instructors. It's really a masterclass for anyone teaching or mentoring.
Or even just explaining something, right?
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack this powerful three-step cueing process she described.
This is more than just telling people what to do.
Way more. It's about safety, sure, but really it's about empowering people, getting them to understand long-term, become more independent.
Like making the information actually stick?
That's it. Making it stick and fostering that self-reliance. And, you know, there's this surprising secret sauce cue she talks about.
Ah, yeah, the one you can use over and over.
The very one. Without it sounding, well, redundant. We'll definitely get to that.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about a common problem in teaching almost anything.
That feeling of being a broken record.
Yes. We've all been there, haven't we? You find yourself just sort of regurgitating the same instructions again and again.
In Pilates, that could be counting every single rep.
Or endless body position cues, like
yeah.
Shoulders down, abs in, head up, over and over.
And you start to wonder if anyone's even listening anymore.
Exactly. Or maybe you as the listener have felt that, overwhelmed by instructions or just tuning out because it's the same thing again.
It's a real challenge. And that's what Massey tackles. What I find fascinating is how she reframes cueing itself.
How so?
Well, she doesn't just see it as giving instructions. For her, it's a communication tool.
Okay.
A tool to get clients understanding a whole range of things.
Mm.
The issue with just repeating stuff,
mm-hmm.
as she points out,
mm-hmm.
is that while it might be, you know, occasionally helpful,
mm-hmm.
maybe right at the start,
mm.
it very quickly becomes occasionally redundant.
That distinction's key. Helpful versus redundant.
Totally. And it really depends on the person, you know, how they learn. What works for one might just grate on another.
And that redundancy isn't just annoying, is it?
Not at all. It's actually problematic. For the instructor, it's frankly exhausting.
I can imagine. Feeling like you have to micromanage every single thing.
Yeah, that mental load is huge. But maybe more importantly, it doesn't actually help the client.
How do you mean?
It doesn't empower our clients to create long-term change if we're constantly telling them everything.
They don't learn to think for themselves.
Exactly. We're not giving them the space to internalize it, to bed those neural pathways, you know, the connections between understanding and doing.
We're kind of keeping them dependent in a way.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so fostering independence is the real goal here, not just perfect reps for that one session.
That's the core idea.
So if endless repetition isn't the answer, what is? This is where Massey's three-step process comes in, and it's refreshingly clear.
Mm-hmm. The first two steps really set the stage. They build the foundation.
Right. So step one, it sounds simple, but it's critical. Get clients into their movement safely.
Non-negotiable.
Totally. It's not just about avoiding injury, though that's vital. It's also about building trust, clarity right from the get-go.
So you use a clear sequence of cues.
Exactly. What she calls the best cueing sequence. Tell them precisely what to do with the equipment, where the exercise.
And how many reps.
And the number of reps, yeah. So, take the hundreds, that classic Pilates move.
Lying on your back, head up, legs out, pumping the arms.
Right. You'd first focus just on getting them into that starting position, safely, efficiently, setting the stage.
And thinking bigger picture, that initial setup, it's about managing their, like, cognitive load, right?
Explain that a bit.
Well, the idea is to get that setup done
mm.
and then leave that segment alone. Get the instructions clear, get them in position quickly.
So their brain isn't overloaded.
Exactly. So they're not still trying to process, where does my foot go?
Yeah.
When they should be focusing on the actual feeling of the movement.
Ah, okay. Building trust, clear starting point, conserving mental energy for what's next. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's about efficiency, too.
Okay, so they're safely in position. What's step two?
Step two is about rhythm.
Step two, set their pace. But crucially, how do you do that without counting forever?
You use your voice.
Right. She says you do it with your voice,
mm-hmm.
with your cues, when to inhale, when to exhale. But here's the key, just for a repetition or two.
Just to get them started.
Exactly. Back to the hundreds example. As the instructor, you are in charge of the pace, but only for those first moments.
You set the tempo.
You're the one who taps out how fast to breathe, inhale and exhale. Maybe it's a faster breath, inhale, exhale, or maybe slower. You just establish it.
And that's really insightful, I think, because clients do need that initial tempo.
Right. You can't just leave them hanging.
No. So the instructor gives them that beat, that rhythm, but without having to count every single breath for the whole exercise.
It's like giving them the framework.
Yeah, a blueprint. They feel the rhythm, they internalize it, hopefully, and then they can take it from there.
Instead of just waiting for the next count, it's a quick handover of that tempo responsibility.
Exactly.
Okay, so step one, safe setup. Step two, set the initial pace. They're in position. They've got the rhythm for a rep or two. What now?
Now comes the magic part.
This is where we avoid falling back into that endless repetition, right? Avoid dictating every tiny detail.
Mm-hmm.
This is step three.
And this is Massey's little secret sauce.
Mm.
The only cue she feels is genuinely okay to say on repeat. And it's so simple. Keep going.
Keep going.
Seriously.
Yep.
That's it. But she explains why it's so powerful. It acts as a bridge for the client.
A bridge? How?
When they hear keep going, it signals a shift. It means, okay, they get to remember all that information from the setup and the pacing.
They get to absorb it. Absorb it. Feel empowered with that information. It's like saying, okay, your turn now. You've got this. Continue.
It's an explicit handover.
It is. Which brings up that question. Why does keep going work? Why isn't that redundant when other repeated cues are?
Yeah. What makes it different?
Massey's logic here is, well, it's pretty brilliant. It fundamentally shifts the responsibility.
From instructor to client.
Exactly. It nudges the client to create that internal dialogue, to actually remember the setup, the pace, the feeling.
It's about activating their own process.
Yes. It's about transferring power over to your clients to make them responsible for their own movement. You're not carrying all the mental weight anymore.
You're inviting them to carry it.
Yeah.
Which has huge benefits.
Right? Huge. For the instructor or teacher, like we said, it cuts down on that exhaustion.
You're no longer responsible for telling them all of that information over and over.
And feeling redundant doing it.
Right. But the deeper benefit, the one for the client's learning,
is that you're giving them space.
Exactly. You step back and you're giving them that space to work on those neural pathways, building the actual mind-body connection.
Because if you do tell them every single thing,
you actually block that internal processing. You prevent the real learning, the muscle memory, from forming properly.
You're just making them follow instructions, not truly learn the movement.
Precisely. It's the difference between following a recipe and actually learning to cook.
Great analogy. Okay, so giving them that space is key. Let's make it concrete again. How does this look with the hundreds on the reformer, using her example?
Okay, walk us through it.
So first, the setup cues. Reach back, grab your straps, lift your hands to the ceiling. Nice and clear.
Got it. Safe setup.
Then setting the pace. Take a big breath in. Exhale, lower the arms, lift head and chest, extend the legs. Let's pump. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, initial rhythm established.
Then, instead of counting the next breath, you use the bridge. Now keep going just like that.
The handover.
The handover. And you might reinforce quickly. You're going to inhale for 5 counts and exhale for 5 counts. And then after the keep going.
That's when you can add something else.
Yes. That's the space for maybe 1 or 2 additional cues, but cues that are genuinely empowering.
Not just repeating the basics.
No. Things to deepen their awareness, like please stretch out through the crown of your head or scoop up through those abdominals. Enhancements, not repetitions.
And there's another layer to this, something Massey really emphasizes.
What's that?
Sometimes the best cue is no cue at all. Silence.
Really? Silence is a cue.
Yeah. She says sometimes zipping it as a Pilates instructor is more powerful than saying anything.
Why?
Because it gives them that mental space to think about what they're doing.
Back to that mental space.
And not feel like they have to follow everything that you say. It lets them own it, connect with their own body, engage those pathways we talked about.
So the silence itself is empowering.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you do speak after the keep going, those cues should be, as you said, empowering. Either educational, maybe explaining why they're doing it.
Okay, the purpose behind it.
Or cues for getting deeper into their body, enhancing the quality, not just dictating the form.
I really like that concept. Silence as a respectful space for learning.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about keep going is how often you can potentially use it. Massey suggests it could be, what, from 30 to 50, maybe even 50 to 70% of the time during exercises in a class?
Yeah, as needed, because it doesn't register as repetitive nagging.
Clients hear it as that bridge, right? That moment of trust, that handover. It frees them up to actually learn and feel.
It builds that internal understanding over time.
Okay, so let's quickly recap this three-step process for everyone listening. It's really quite elegant.
Step one.
Get clients safely and efficiently set up. Nail that starting point quickly.
Step two.
Set the initial pace for just a rep or two. Give them the rhythm.
And step three.
Use keep going as that bridge for empowerment. Follow it with silence. Or maybe just one or two really potent enhancing cues.
Set up, pace, empower.
Exactly. And the value here for you, our listener, it's pretty significant, isn't it?
Definitely. It's more than just a teaching technique for exercise.
It's really a shortcut to being a more effective guide, whatever you're teaching or explaining. It lightens your mental load.
Which is huge.
And more importantly, it fosters real, lasting learning and confidence in the other person. Think about the energy saved, the deeper connection.
And the self-reliance you're building.
Absolutely. Which brings us to maybe a final thought to chew on.
Okay.
Building on this. How can we, maybe in our own work or even family life, identify where we need to consciously step back?
Where do we need to empower someone else to just keep going instead of constantly jumping in?
Yeah, instead of micromanaging, what chances are we missing to let people build their own understanding, their own internal dialogue?
By not giving them that mental space to think about what they're doing.
Exactly. It applies way beyond a Pilates class, doesn't it? Parenting, managing a team, any kind of mentorship.
It's a really powerful question to consider. Where can we use silence and keep going more effectively?
Food for thought. Well, that's our deep dive for today. We really hope exploring this communication strategy has sparked some ideas for you.
Yeah, I hope it's given you some useful tools.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you have questions or your own insights on this, please do send them our way. We always appreciate hearing from you.